Good morning. A pleasure to welcome you, and thank you very much. So glad you're here. Thank you for slogging through the weather. There are a number of announcements that I need to highlight today. Others are in your bulletin insert, though not quite all. One that I'm not sure is there is about this rose here. The rose is in celebration of the birth of a baby girl to the Sewell family. That's Meg and David and Teresa and Simeon. Are the Sewells here? Because believe it or not, they told me that they would probably be in church 6 days after this child was born. I'm kind of relieved they didn't bring her through the rain. We celebrate with them. I'm also happy to say there was another baby born to this church family this week on Friday. Lindsay and Chris Duke had a baby boy. And my grandson. We are happy for both these new arrivals to our family of faith. This evening is an important event, and if you are not already committed to coming, I hope you'll listen carefully now. It is being called I Journey. That's a little I, lowercase, with a capital J, journey. The I is for interactive, intergenerational, and invitational. It is a series of opportunities to pray and do creative things relative to what we recall on this Holy Week. There's a delicious dinner that comes first. This was planned by Zan and by Stacy and by others, so you know it will be wonderful. You will have experienced nothing like it before. We hope that many of you can come. That's from 5 o'clock till 7 o'clock today. Did I mention that the baby girl's name is Penelope? I love that. Our lounge class today is the final in a series drawn from African American spirituals. Today's spiritual is Were You There? Bonnie Kidd will be singing. I think you'll find it inspirational and worth your time. As Holy Week continues, on Friday, there are two services which you are invited to attend. The first of these is at First United Methodist Church, and it is an ecumenical community service. 3 half-hour services, each led by a different congregation. You are invited to go to all three, 12 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock. The 1 o'clock service is led by the First Baptist Church Choir, and the preaching will be done in that service by Stacy Simpson Duke. You will be glad you went if you do. Then next Friday night in this space, our annual Good Friday Tenebrae service, a service of shadows. The room darkens as the story is retold. We invite you to be present for this unusual and, as most people tell us, exceptionally powerful time. I hear that next Sunday morning is Easter. The weather is to be splendid. There will be, after the service, an Easter egg hunt. We invite all the children and their families to be present. We hope that you can be. My eyes have just fallen on Marlene and Arthur Francis, who have been gone from us for months. We welcome you home. It is wonderful to see you. And now our time of worship begins. Let us with all our hearts be open to the Spirit of God in this place. Let us lean into the stories that we are about to hear. And be prepared to make fresh response. Let us worship.
Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. Hosanna in the highest.
Please stand for the invocation. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, you have brought all of us into this sacred space on this Palm Sunday to worship you. Give us the strength and courage, O God, to persist through this Holy Week and be successful in our attempts to live in your way, so that we may come closer to you, Lord, today and every day. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Gospel according to Luke. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice, for all the deeds of power that they had been saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in the responsive reading of the psalm. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Invite all of the children forward for Time as Children with Zan.
You just said it's time to get ready, right? We got to get ready. I was thinking about getting ready for a parade, and I know what it's like to be a mom trying to get ready for a parade. Are you ready? No, we can't be calm. We got to get ready for the parade. It's happening. Quick, make room. We got to get our good spot. Watch out. Ooh, okay, quick. Get your shoes on, kids. Get ready. Get your spot. Okay. Oh, we've got our spot. Oh, I hope it's the best spot. Is it in the shade? Okay, these are the things moms worry about at parades. Let's see, Anna, will you sit on our blanket here for the parade? The parade is coming. Go ahead, sit right on the blanket. Let's see. I think you're going to need a snack, don't you? Okay, you better have a snack. You might need three snacks. Okay, let's see. Snacks for the parade. What else do we need? Oh, I bet you're going to be thirsty. It's going to be hot. Okay, are we ready for the parade? Come on, kids, get ready for the parade. Oh, and you might get bored when all the elected officials come down. So here, take that, and you can, okay. Are we ready? Are you ready to do the parade? To welcome and pour. Oh. This is how we do parades. We worry about snacks and shade and something to distract us from the parade. But listen, you all just sang this incredible song about getting ready. Did you say anything about packing snacks? No, the moms and the kids and the dads and the teenagers, they all just start going. They know something super important is happening. And there's something about coats. Asher, can you get my cloak over there? There's something about cloaks, throwing the cloaks down to get ready for Jesus to come. That doesn't seem to be super prepared in the way we think of being prepared. It's no iPhone to play with. They throw their cloaks down, and they get their branches, which I'm assuming they didn't order ahead of time. They had to go find the branches, but they went running to get ready for a super important person to come in this parade. And that's what we're doing today. We are going to have a parade moment right now. We're going to sing this beautiful song that's all these ways of saying praise, like you just said in your anthem you just sang for us. And we're going to move in and around the aisles as we sing the song, and we're all going to move our palms because that's our way of welcoming the parade with Jesus at the center, okay? So we don't need our snacks. We're not going to bring our coats, but in a second, when the music starts, you guys can go get your palms from your pew, and then we're going to walk around. And grown-ups, if you want to move in the space, you're welcome to do that, or you can also just move your palms way up high. But let's pray first, and then we'll go do that parade for that beautiful song, A Glory, Law, and Honor, which, again, mentions children being an important part of the parade. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we get to be part of the parade. We know big things happen as we celebrate Jesus' journey this week. Help us remember to start this way, singing your praise, waving our palms, and going a little crazy. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's do it.
Glory, honor, glory to the King of Israel.
And now let us pray. Loving God, all our thanks that you accept the praises of children, that you delight in them, and that you accept the praises of the rest of us too. As we enter now more deeply into the terrible shadow of the cross of Jesus, our prayers falter. Painfully, we are mindful of all that is not right with the world, with all that isn't right with us. So much is broken or sick or under threat. All of it we lay in the shadow of Christ's dying love for us all. There is a welling up in our hearts of amazement that this world is loved so much and that such love embraces us too. And such love calls us to live more faithfully, which we desire and intend to do. More than this, we ask for that greater power of your Holy Spirit to do its gracious work in us, to transform the ways we think and the ways we choose. To your great purpose for our lives, make us more teachable, malleable, and heartily willing to follow your Spirit's leading. Now we join our hearts together to pray for these whose needs we may know. For Helen Louise Bowser, Peter Beauvais, Jean Evie, Joan and Lynn Blunt, for Stacy, for Bob Simpson, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Anna Kirstein, Olivia, or Saunay Lynn, Robert L., Marissa Alanese, for Catherine, David, Tim, Valerie, Sarah, Paul, Gia, Pierre, for Joseph Moffat, for the Jones family, for the family of John Wallace, for Pat, Dawn, Dale, Sue, Bob, and Jim Terrace. Receive now our silent prayers. Now, in the remainder of this hour, cause our hearts to open even wider, that we listen deeply and respond fully, and leave this place more honestly and humbly committed in our love for you and for your world. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Jesus knows what lies ahead of him, and still he presses forward. He comes riding into Jerusalem on the back of a colt to the cheers of the crowd, a royal entry, recalling the prophecy of Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus rides into town on a colt, while the throngs of people throw down their cloaks ahead of him and shout, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Did you hear it? This multitude of disciples shouting praise sounds very much like the multitude of angels who sang out those same words at Jesus' birth. The people seem to recognize, as the angels did, that this is the Christ, the true King. The shouts, the praise, the palms, the entry into Jerusalem, the public anticipation of what this man has come to do. It is so beautiful. It is so electrifying. It is so true. It is so deadly. Jesus knows. Jesus knows what lies ahead, and still he goes. The people's praise rings out around him, pointing to the sacred truth that Jesus himself has been pointing to all along. He is the one who has come in the name of the Lord. He has come to upend the powers that be. He has come to annihilate forces we thought were indestructible. He has come to obliterate boundaries we thought were fixed, to tear down walls we thought were immovable. He has come to gather us all in. The people in Jerusalem that day perceive the truth. They may not perceive all of it. They don't perceive all of it. They may still think this is all merely political. They may think that this man has come to start a revolution that will end when he takes the throne from Herod. They may not perceive the whole truth. But they do perceive the truth. Here is the one who has come in the name of the Lord. This is a revolution. This revolution will not end with a political coup. This revolution is about more than one nation, more than an earthly throne, more than mere politics, more than one small slice of time. This revolution is about so much more, and it has only just begun. And the Pharisees are rattled. They had already tried to warn Jesus that Herod wanted to kill him. Now they try again to get Jesus to control his people. Their acclamation of Jesus as king is treason. There is already a king on the throne. And any subversive attempt to take that throne from him will be deadly. Teacher, order your disciples to stop, they implore Jesus. But Jesus will not stop the crowds from shouting the truth. just as he will not stop living the truth. He responds to them, "I tell you, if these people were silent, the stones would shout out." Here is the real truth now. The man riding in on the donkey to shouts of praise will be betrayed, arrested, deserted, tortured, mocked, abandoned, executed. But he will not be stopped. He will never be stopped. Nor will his truth be stopped. Even if people were to stop seeing it, stop believing it, stop telling it, stop singing it, it would still be so true that creation itself would remember and pass it on. And what about us? Like the crowds hailing him that day, we just barely perceive only a portion of his truth. And what bit of truth we do recognize, we tend to want to analyze or argue, to dissect or deconstruct, to defend or dismiss. It's all more manageable that way. But what if we could just let it speak to us instead? Today is a day to lay down our beloved intellectual defenses, like cloaks on the road before Jesus. Just lay down our resistance. And let the truth tell itself to us again. This is the week for that, to let the stories get inside us and move around a bit, to let the truth inhabit us and start to grow in us. Consider what it would look like to let the truth of this story come to life in our own lives. How will it upend the powers that be? How will it annihilate forces we thought were indestructible? How will it tear down walls we thought were insurmountable? How will this revolution be unleashed in our own lives? How will his courage take hold of us when we face death-dealing forces? How will we keep pressing forward no matter what lies ahead? How will we let him gather us in? It starts now with letting his sad and hard and beautiful and holy and deadly story inside. And the parts that seem strange or difficult, maybe we can just let them be. We don't have to fix them or figure them out. Not today. We can listen to them and sing them. Because sometimes what mystery needs is music. And sometimes what the truth needs is simply to be told. So, now is the time to listen again and to sing, to breathe and to let go, to make space for the mystery of God's self-giving love, and to let the truth of Jesus' passion come to live inside our hearts again and grow in our lives. So may God bless again the telling and the hearing, the singing and the living. of God's holy word.
When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will from now on not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "The cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one of whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. And a dispute arose also among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. He said, "The greatest among you will be the least, and the leader will be the one who serves."
Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial." While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man was also with him." But Peter denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" They kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer."
Thank you.
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found him guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us." This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put into prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished.
The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb, where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment.
How do we respond to such love as this that gives itself and gives itself again? How can we respond but by giving ourselves? We make our offerings now as a sign of our response, the giving of ourselves in love and in gratitude.
Thank you.
Holy God, as we grapple with your unfathomable love and its claim on our lives, we offer these our gifts, and we offer ourselves, and we pray that you take it all and use it to magnify your self-giving love for our world, in our world. In Jesus' name, amen. This wondrous love to the world by offering peace to each other. May the peace of Christ be with you.
At the beginning of the announcements, I said who this rose is for. I said they said they would try to be here 6 days after her birth. Penelope, welcome to church, sweetheart. Her father, David, her mother, Meg, are there as well. Are your other children here today as well? They're hanging out. So go find Simeon and Teresa too, and we'll tell them how glad we are for Penelope's arrival. Now receive benediction.
Grace.